Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Justin Rogers, and I also have a trading problem.
And I am Zach Reed, and I most certainly have a trading problem.
And we also have a missing Russ problem this week, but it's not really a problem because we got Justin here, and we have Justin's favorite guy, Eric, here as well.
Throwback to a couple years ago there.
Yeah, for those who don't know, a hot sauce episode. He called Zach Eric for the entire pod.
No, it was
a trade addict. I thought it was hot sauce. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
That seemed funny.
I was drinking, moving, yeah. And all kinds of stuff going on. And yep, sure enough, all night.
That's right. I've been called way worse than Eric.
That's what I tell people at the bar when they're like, Joshua, Joseph, and I'm like, look, there's lots of names you can call me that are way worse than that. Just don't use those and we're good. So
yes.
You know, I still felt like ass though.
No. It just gives me a little tweak. That's
like something you need to do.
I might slip it in the rest of the podcast. Hell of it. For old times' sake.
So we got a great group here, and we're gonna get right in the show because we got a lot on here. We got a bunch of trades this week. So we'll get right into the news. Not anything super major, but a few different news items this week. The first one I put down here, the Jimmy G contract, where it appears he's staying with the Niners. I put up a question mark staying with the Niners because doesn't seem like there's any suitors, but I also think maybe that contract makes him more tradable. So I think that might have been part of it as well. But Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, well, to me, it's a brilliant move by the 49ers, and it almost had to happen, regardless of whether they try to trade him or whether they keep him around to be insurance for Trey Lance. You had to rework that contract. And so reworking that contract gives them flexibility to, again, keep him or trade him if there becomes interest later on in the season. So it's nice. I don't think, to me, it changes anything I thought about Trey Lance yesterday. You know, today, that it's no different.
I totally agree. A lot of people are saying, oh, this is bad for Lance, and that means they're hedging with Jimmy G and all this stuff.
So you're a Philly guy. How much talk the last 2 years has there been about Jalen Hurts and how there's going to be somebody come in behind Jalen Hurts and how Jalen Hurts is not going to – and what's he done? Year. He's been a top five quarterback in fantasy.
Fantasy anyway, yeah.
And I stand on the other side of the fence here. And I think there's the bad correlation or comparison with Jalen Hurts is that the backup there hasn't taken their team to a Super Bowl and didn't go to the NFC Championship last year.
Well, the backup there originally won a Super Bowl and they let him go.
I don't know if he won a Super Bowl. He
was I watched it. It sucked. I'm a Pats fan.
He didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. He was on the roster. He got a ring, but he didn't win the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Your favor, Justin, is they brought in Hurts behind Wentz and that kind of broke him. So like,
I just worry that this is not like the biggest vote of confidence. Like, okay, so they wanted to gain a little flexibility. Obviously they weren't going to keep him, but they saved money in theory if they were going to keep him by getting down to $7 million from 25. But what does that do to the vote of confidence for your second year quarterback that, This is your team. But in the back of his head, he's going, man, I got to stay ahead of this dude. What if that's too much? You know, not everyone is just cut and ready to roll, you know, as they come into the league. You know, there's some development for some guys. And
there's the argument that
might hinder his mentally.
if he can't handle that, was he really the guy to begin with, though?
Well, there's lots of dudes that don't handle it well to start and then get better.
And this is again where I say, like, my thoughts on Lance didn't change from yesterday to today. So for me, the Trey Lance getting up into like quarterback 7, quarterback 8, quarterback 9 is high. Like, because I think you assume a lot of the risk there. When he was going back quarterback 12, 13, 14, that's when I'm in on Lance, because I think that there's a lot of ways to go. I would be a little bit tentative trading for Lance at the price that he is going currently, just because I think there is a lot of unknown and you don't have very many. I mean, he's going at QB9 right now on DLF's most recent Superflex ADP. There's not a lot of room to go up from there.
Yeah, you're buying close to ceiling value already.
I will say, though, I mean, I don't think the Niners, this means he's on a leash or anything like that, which is some people have put out there. I just think the Niners didn't want to give Jimmy G away for nothing, especially to potentially the Seahawks. So this gives them the option to, they have one of the best backups in the league, or I don't think they're benching Lance unless he's truly awful. This doesn't worry me about Lance, like, that he's not going to finish the season because the Niners are going to bench him.
And it definitely opens up your trade partners, you know, reworking that contract, because now all of a sudden you get some leeway with the salary cap.
Yeah, let's say Rodgers goes down first month of the season. Maybe you get a trade there. Maybe a better example would be an AFC quarterback. They probably don't want to trade with the Packers, but you know what I mean. Okay, so we'll move on. Did you see something else?
Yeah, one more thing. Did you see the Angry Sports Couples tweet this morning?
I did not.
And it was the 49ers start the season off against the Bears, Seahawks, Broncos, Rams, and Panthers. So, you know, they got two tough ones with the Broncos and the Rams, we assume. But they have three winnable games, the Bears, Seahawks, Panthers. What happens if they go 2-3 to start the season? You don't think that there's the fans and whatnot are going to be clamoring for Jimmy G at 2-3?
I mean, it would depend on how they lose, but I still don't think they're going to bench. I mean, like I said, unless he's just awful and he can't throw the, you know, he's completing like 50% of his passes and things like that. I mean, they're kind of, it's not, you know, wildly unexpected to lose two of those games. So, if he happens to blow one of the other ones or they give up 40 points, we don't know how they're going to lose.
2-3 and that the fans are just screaming for Jimmy G because last year they were good and, you know, there's regression in the team.
I just think it's – you put all that capital into that guy.
I agree.
Put three first-round picks. You just ride it out. And, you know, I don't think you bench them. You have to see what happens.
I wish they would have just cut bait and said, you know what, it's not worth it for our team to be listening to the chatter of the fans at 2-3 if that happens. I'd rather just cut my losses and not worry about getting the fourth rounder for Jimmy G in week 6 or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that would have made some sense as well. But, yeah, I get why they would do it, and I get why they wouldn't want to give him to a division rival for nothing. Even though the Seahawks would stink probably with or without Jimmy G, but as Russ would probably tell you. the next piece of news, kind of crazy news, unfortunately, Brian Robinson, victim of a carjacking, got shot. Yeah, kind of crazy. Thankfully, he appears to be pretty much okay. He's already out of the hospital, non-life-threatening injuries.
There was an update on it today where he got shot. He got shot in the butt. We all knew that. Yeah. In the glute. The other one was his knee.
Yeah.
He got shot in the knee, but it missed everything that was important. So that's huge.
He was at the commander's facility today. Like I saw a video of him come in.
Oreos.
Bring Oreos. Yeah. That whole thing is wild to me and sucks because he had such a nice preseason and he was one of my top five rookie running backs coming into this. And I was like, he's going to sneak up on some people because he can be the workhorse in a committee. He can be that 1A between the tackles, you know, and then
we all assumed that he won that job.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what, from a fantasy perspective, that's what's even more crazy about this. Right. What's also wild to me is that apparently he's currently on the 53-man roster. They didn't do anything to pup him or anything. I don't know if that means he's going to be back. And I don't see how you could be get shot in the knee and be back in the first month of the season. But yeah, but I when I put this on here, I hadn't heard that update that he was on the 53. I was going to ask you guys, does this change your view of Antonio Gibson at all? Because he's going to, I would think at least the first month, going to have run in that backfield.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he has to get a bump, you know?
Yeah.
Would you be interested in acquiring him, or you're still out on him?
What's the cost? Can I give a second for him? Sure. But I'm not giving anything more than just a single second for him at this point. What about you, Zach?
Yeah, I think that's probably similar, which, like, I've got him in a league, and I think I could have traded him pre-draft for a 23 first. Post-draft, I tried. It didn't happen. Right. And now I'm just like, at this point, you might as well run with him. Like, I don't think – I wouldn't trade him for a second, because I think you're going to get more out of him this year than what a second – I mean, a second-round pick is not even a coin flip. I mean, you're talking, you know, 25-30% chance of getting a usable season. I've got probably a 75% chance of getting a usable season out of Antonio Gibson. The real takeaway for me is RB1 J.D. McKissic remains RB1 J.D. McKissic.
We shall see. I will say, even, you know, we have no idea when Robinson might return. They've said from the beginning that they thought he'd be back this season. I figured that meant much later. I'm not sure now. But he's been with J.D. McKissic there the last 2 years. He has been a top 15 running back both of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And it could be a situation where we don't see much of Robinson during the season. Even if he comes back, it might be hard for him to take that lead role back. It's like Gibson's been doing it for like 8 to 10 weeks. If that's when Robinson comes back. So I don't mind, but I'm with you. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to give up a 23 first for him. Maybe a 24 first, maybe, but I think we have to see it on the field first and see him, doing it. So the next one was a minor signing. Kenyon Drake signs with the Ravens. I thought that was a little interesting, just because does that mean anything? Does that mean anything for Dobbins? Does that mean, I mean, we always worry about Dobbins pass catching, and Drake was considered the pass catching back when he was with Vegas, and then they cut him. So does it give you any pause about Dobbins, or is he just so minor it doesn't matter?
I mean, I had pause about Dobbins before Drake signed there. It's funny, because you see Dobbins go highly, or you see Dobbins traded for, when we got one later, I don't want to spoil it, but for valuable picks. And I am hesitant on the running back behind the RB1 Lamar Jackson, regardless of who it is. And then, you know, you add Kenyon Drake, and it doesn't give me warm and fuzzies about how, like, where Dobbins is at and what they are going to do for a committee there. But also, Kenyon Drake doesn't scare me.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Kenyon Drake at his peak, the peak of his powers, wasn't a guy that you were going to be like, oh my gosh. If you really believed in J.K. Dobbins, it ain't Kenyon Drake that's the dude that's going to, like, push him off the field. You know, I'm concerned about a little bit of a post-ACL recovery. And, you know, not everybody is Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles from back in, like, 09 or whatever it was. But, I mean, the opportunity is going to be there, I think. I was never plugging Dobbins in for 275, 300 carries anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That was never in the realm of possibilities for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. It just, it was news that happened today, so I figured it was worth putting on there. So, but yeah, I mean, there's always the worry about Dobbins pass catching ups. And like Eric said, but you know, you always got to worry about Lamar Jackson too. There's so much of the, you know, he's going to run the ball so many times. Yeah. So, but we'll finish up the news with it was cut day today. I only put one on here. If you guys want to throw any other ones in there, you could go ahead. Is there anything you want to talk about There were some, you know, semi fantasy relevant stuff, but not much. But the biggest one to me was that Marlon Mack got cut, which means the Damian Pierce hype that was already building is probably just going to go insane now.
Yeah.
So we were talking a bit about him before in the show, Zach. Why don't you talk a little bit about Damian Pierce and why you'd sell him for any 23 first if you can get it?
I definitely would. And it's not like he's in my pre-draft assessment of rookie running backs. Damian Pierce was the best at in terms of vision behind the line of scrimmage. He's fantastic. Past the line of scrimmage is where that kind of falls flat. So in the preseason, like I'm not surprised that Damian Pierce blew up in the preseason because he's playing against defensive players who are trying to make other teams, who are probably not making other teams because Damian Pierce made them look terrible. But if you look at a lot of his runs, he will run through and then get into a lineman and then get away. And it's like that's not happening against NFL starting caliber defenders. It just is not. And so, yeah, he's probably going to be a pretty good running back two, back end running back two. He might sneak into the top 16 or so because of volume, because he's going to be the running back of note in Houston. Rex Burkhead accepted. I think he'll be that guy, but Houston's offense is probably not going to be great.
Hold on. I think they're going to be – no, I can't finish that statement.
Yeah, I was waiting to hear where you were going there.
He's fine. Like, he's fine. But if I can get a first-round pick and get a bona fide, you know, whether it be – you know, if I luck into a quarterback next year, then you hit the lottery. But there are also going to be three or four running backs next year. There are going to be four or five receivers next year in that first round that I'm excited about. And so I would gladly trade 1 year of a running back too to get a shot at the can at anybody, especially if you took Damian Pierce in rookie drafts. Unless your rookie draft was within the last 2 weeks, you probably got him in the late second, early third. Like, yeah, I'm going to take the first round pick. And be happy
all day, every day.
And I'm thinking a lot of people, especially in some of the leagues we plan, are not giving up a first for Damian Pierce. So would you take less than a first? Like, would you just ship him for 2 seconds?
So what I would be doing is I would be trying to do something like David Bell in a second. So I've got a player that I like that I think – I think in 6 weeks, we're going to look at David Bell and go, man, how did we miss David Bell? How are we getting him at the 208? You know, because I think he's going to be really good and drive targets in Cleveland. I think he's actually a really good player. So it would be something like that. And it doesn't have to be David Bell. It could be whoever you like that's a kind of that third or fourth tier receiver that you think has upside. That's what I would – I mean, if you could go Damian Pierce for, like, Darnell Mooney, because Darnell Mooney doesn't have very much hype, which is wild, but he doesn't. You know, players like that if you could make a bet on a player that you like for a RB2 that probably won't be an RB2 for years, I'm doing that. It's the kind of – feels like Tyson Williams – from last year, where everybody was excited about him in the preseason. Everybody was excited about him coming in, and now he's gone. And I know he got hurt, but like he just is gone. And so that, like, that to me, I'm going to make hay while the sun shines on Damian Pierce.
Is anyone trading a 23 first for Elijah Mitchell? No. One's doing that. So what's the difference between Elijah Mitchell and Damian Pierce?
They're both different.
They're both low draft capital running backs who have opportunity. That's it. You know, you're not talking about, you know, future stars, in my opinion. You know, I mean, maybe we got an outlier on our hands, but I'm not banking on outliers.
And I liked Elijah Mitchell better on film than I like Pierce. Yeah.
So I was just going to add, because I was going to say, before we finish up on Pierce, I was going to play the game that, that Russ loves to play with the – I was looking at the running back ADP. So Pierce or Josh Jacobs?
Jacobs, but it's close.
Yeah, it's close. I think I might take Pierce just because of the age.
Okay, Pierce. I'm going to actually go down from there since you said Jacobs. Pierce or Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
That's another one that's close, but I'll
Why
take.
Why do you hate
I'll
us
take,
so much, Rob?
I'll take,
I'm trying to get people, you know, where we're valuing him in it.
I'll take CEH, but I don't think that, like, it's funny because, yes, this is the latest ADP, but this doesn't have the Dameon Pierce hype bump.
Right, yeah, and that's right, why right. I'm going through this. And then below,
that's a flip a coin for me as well.
Below CEH is Devin Singletary or Dameon Pierce.
Same thing. That's it's those are yeah. All three
this,
of those
this
are
this
all,
is high yeah. RB3 range, by
but
the way.
But I'm gonna take I'm gonna take the incumbent there, like on all three of those. I'll take the guy that I know is gonna be an RB2 over a guy that I hope is gonna be an RB2.
When you say high RB3, I think you're going the wrong direction in the ADP. Because he's gonna be higher than this.
Oh yeah.
Pierce is.
But I'm saying you guys are valuing him similarly to this. That's what I'm saying. Like I'm just asking you guys.
We value him, but where the community is going to value him is going to be higher.
Well, let me. What about compared to like older, like James Conner is RB 22. Would you rather have Dameon Pierce or James Conner?
Conner again, like again. Yeah. That's
if you're contending. I'd rather have Conner.
Yeah,
so, I'm only expecting a season or two out of Pierce anyway.
How high do you think the community? Like, we're all saying it's easily all these other guys. So how high do you think the community is going to value him then?
Well, I just watched NFL Network do their fantasy football show with like Cynthia Freeland and like it was like big name analysts, and they're all talking about Dameon Pierce being like the number two pickup and a guy you got to have on every team. And so the more, and I don't mean to denigrate, like the more casual players, which is most of the fantasy football community and even a lot of dynasty. I mean, not everybody is on Twitter 24 hours a day and listening to 16 podcasts and all of that. And, you know, in live stream comments and like, I love everybody that is, but most people are not doing that. Most people are doing the, you know, getting the ESPN Field Yates and Marcus Grant, or they're doing the NFL Network, you know, it's fantasy football show or whatever. And a lot of those places are hyping up Dameon Pierce. So I think like he's rising.
I'm looking at the ADP right now. I think he jumps into the Akers, Dobbins, Fournette range.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's where he ends up.
So you're maybe, but then if you want to stay a running back, the play is then look in that ADP range and see if you can trade him for one of those running backs. Plus maybe get a second on top of one of those running backs.
I mean, I think he's going to be ahead of Connor, ahead of Gibson, probably ahead of David Montgomery. So then you're in like the Zeke range. Well, everybody hates Zeke now.
Yeah.
So beyond that, it's Fournette, Dobbins, Akers.
I would trade Pierce for Zeke plus all day if I could get it.
Yeah.
If I'm a contender. Yeah.
I'd trade Pierce straight up for Zeke.
I would too. Then even some of these other backs we're talking about. So yeah, I'm gonna have to look at my peer shares and see if I can do that after the show.
But I think you can get more. Like I think we're at the crescendo, the apex of this where you want to do it before he plays.
Yep,
because he's gonna have to play. Then that's I have a DM with Peter Howard and Russ. With the Dynasty Grind that we do on Wednesday night. And I said, all of these people who are hyping up Dameon Pierce realize that in 2 weeks he has to play, right? Like this is like, it's not just all make-believe, but right now it was Dogecoin, where it was right at the Super Bowl and it went up to like 60 cents a share.
The Elon Musk commercial is coming and it's about to.
Yeah. And it's like, that's where we're at.
Yeah. So I've had trouble moving some of these other hype guys, but I think Pierce, maybe you can get a little more for, so that might work. Like I've been trouble moving the Pachecos and the Dobbs.
Yeah.
But you got to combine those. Like those are guys that you throw into it. Yeah, so like you do a piece guy. And then you throw in there like, oh, this is upside.
Yeah. Right.
Whereas if you just send it to them, they're like, oh, this is a more than a third, but not quite a second. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't think those guys' level of hype has reached the Dameon Pierce, George Pickens hype.
Yeah,
although I'm in on the George Pickens.
I would say Pickens was my wide receiver.
Yeah, I know. Pre-draft. Yeah, Zach has loved Pickens from the beginning.
I'm in on Pickens, on the actual reality of Pickens being good since he was good in college.
I am too. I did try and get first for him, but that didn't work either. So nobody was giving me a 23 first. I've seen it happen in other leagues, but I was not able to get it.
You just wait till about week 9 when he blows up a couple times. And if you want to make it happen, you probably can.
That's true. Okay, before we move on, is there anything other cut that happened today you guys think is worth talking about in any way, shape, or form?
I thought there was one. OJ Howard getting cut.
I did think that was interesting.
That's wheels up for Dawson Knox and what the hell, that entire class with OJ Howard, Evan Ingram, and Njoku, man.
Yeah.
No, not the entire class. That was the George Kittle class.
Ah.
Yeah, well, if you go all the way down to like the 6th round or whatever. Third round of rookie drafts.
We'll bring that back. We got to run back the Dynasty Dummies from that year because that was a George Kittle podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's because he was a freak athlete.
Kyle had the cheat sheet and man, it kicks out the athletic tight ends. Yep. But
okay, so we usually give the guests the choice. I'm just going to go to the listener questions because we have so many trades. We only have a couple listener, and one of them's not even a question. Because one of them is some guy at Dynasty Outhouse says, talk about how Zach only guests when I'm not there, please. I'll hang up and listen now. What it sounds like to me, Zach, is that Russ isn't asking you to be on.
That's probably it. I think he probably gets enough of me on Wednesday nights and you know, 14 hours in the car back and forth to Canton. So he's like, nah. But it's obvious that Rocky just likes me more.
Russ. Obviously. That's
clearly.
But we'll move on to the one actual question we got, which is from at @hunk_hunk_. Who is your favorite dynasty wide receiver buy that isn't currently projected to start on their team in 3 wide receiver sets? It's got to be Hall of Famer Romeo Doubs, right? But do either of you guys have a name that came to mind with this one?
Can I take like the low hanging fruit and say Sky Moore?
Yeah,
sure. Sky Moore then. There.
For me, this is like an entirely like I could just roll out and talk about this for hours, but not because of the sleeper wide receivers, because those aren't the guys you want.
No.
Like you don't want the third, fourth, fifth wide receiver on a team. You want the second, third running back on a team. Like if you're stashing players on your bench,
amen.
Third and fourth wide receivers are roster cloggers. Like you don't want, I got my DLF shirt, says no roster cloggers. Like that's what those guys are. Like I loved Eric Ezekama. I loved Bryan Edwards. I loved all these, Tyler Johnson. We talked about Tyler Johnson getting cut. Like I loved all those guys. But when they become a third or fourth or fifth option on their team, you got to let them go.
Yep.
Because those guys, the chances of them getting to a level where they're fantasy viable is really low. Like that does not happen very often. Adam Thielen does not happen very often. But what does happen is every year, a running back that nobody talked about has 2 games or 3 games of, you know, low running back 1 production. Like that happens. Guys get injured. All of a sudden somebody comes in and, you know, you've got Khalil Herbert, that, you know, that sort of thing. And so I know I didn't really answer the question, but that's how I answer the question. Like that's how I play my bench is I want running backs, running backs, running backs, running backs. I want my wide receivers to be studs. I want the guys that I'm starting to be studs, but my bench is not going to be those wide receivers.
I agree with you, and I think Justin does too. That it's definitely the play now is to kind of load up on those backup running backs or third, even third string running backs, because they'll eventually get a bump and you can either use them for a couple weeks of production or move them for a second or something like that. But in an effort to answer the question, I kind of did what Justin did, and except it's a guy that's not quite as hyped, but I think I like a lot, and I think he's mainly down in large part because of injury in the preseason. Christian Watson is another guy who's probably not going to start in his team's three wide receiver sets. I liked him a lot coming out. I was curious to hear your thoughts on I'm sure I've heard them before on the dummies, but what do you think of Watson? I still think there's just tremendous upside there.
He was a really weird evaluation for me because he finished in my top 10, right? So he finished at 9 overall. But what he does really well, he does exceptionally well. And everything else he does terribly. And so that's how he ended up at wide receiver 9 in the class. He gets downfield. I don't think I remember seeing a receiver who gets by corners more consistently and is open down the field, doesn't necessarily get targeted, but gets open like so often. And like Watson's big, he's tall, he's fast. In closer to the line of scrimmage, he is really scary. Like he does not catch the ball well. He like alligator arms it. He has, you know, the ball clunking off his hands. What they did do that was really neat with him was give him some like pop passes and jet sweeps and that sort of thing. And when he gets the ball like that in space, I get flashes of like that, the Randy Moss run at Marshall where he's got the big, tall white socks and he's just like all legs and running, like stepping over defenders and like, but there's a lot of drawbacks with Watson too. So like, he's got that deep ball, that boom potential, but he makes me nervous. Like if I'm looking at guys that are hurt, Jameson Williams is the guy that I'm going after because nobody's talking about him because he's been injured. He's going to be injured all year. Obviously he's, you know, third or fourth or fifth in that pecking order right now. Sure. I think he'll probably be first or second going into next year. And also, I don't know if you've looked at the Jets, like wide receiver, the way they brought, but Garrett Wilson is not in their starting lineup right now.
He's got to be out.
Yeah,
he will be, but he's not right now. He did not have he had an okay preseason, but not great. And so that'll be an interesting thing. I mean, he's not a sleeper, obviously. He was a top three wide receiver in the class, but that'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. See if people cool on him a little bit when he doesn't, you know, come out of the gate.
I think like in the entire back half of these wide receivers in the first round of rookie drafts are all in this. Like, Treylon Burks, if you were to draft now, Treylon Burks wouldn't be a top 4 or 5 pick.
Oh no,
you know, a lot of it would be probably for me. Move up, but, I mean, and by the consensus,
yeah, and that's fair. Been,
you know, but they're, you know, individual.
He'd probably go behind Pickens.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Which so. Was not happening at all earlier, right. Except maybe
but he would follow even that Zach, same
you had
thing.
A, like, you had Burks at 2, right?
The guy Burks 1, Wilson 2, yeah. Pickens 3.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a bunch of trades to get to, so we'll get into some trades now, some Trade Addicts trades. Reminder, Trade Addicts are 12-team PPR Superflex 1.75 tight end premium. Got a number of trades from a number of leagues this week. We'll start with TA2. Debo, Dante Pettis, and James Prochet. So the guys he was going to cut, I guess, to make this right. Work. So Debo. for Rashad Bateman and Jahan Dotson. I'll go first on this one, and then I'll let you guys talk. I think I'm taking the two guys here. I like Debo, but... we talked about Lance a little bit earlier, and I like Lance for as a fantasy asset, but it's mainly because I don't think it matters what he is as a passer. I learned that lesson from Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts was good, not great last year, and his counting numbers were not great, especially, you know, he only threw, like, I think 16 touchdowns or something like that. So I'm not sure what that's going to mean for the passing game. I still expect Debo to get his, and he's going to easily be the best receiver there. But I'll take the chance on the upside of Bateman. Bateman also in a low passing offense. And Dotson, I was kind of down on coming into the draft, but he's kind of grown on me a little bit. I don't love Wentz, but you gotta see what happens there. But Wentz can be a little better than I think people think of him as. He played well for a lot of the Colts season last year. He started off bad and had a horrible end to the season, but in the middle, he put up some decent numbers anyway. So I'll take the chance on the two guys. And if Debo proves me wrong and has another wide receiver two overall season, I guess I'll miss out. What about you, Zach?
Can I counter? Can I say I'll do Debo in a third instead of that chat that I'm going to cut? Like that's what I would do because I think those guys are, again, we talked about roster cloggers. Those guys are not going to make my roster.
Why the hell was Dante Pettis on a roster to begin with to make the trade? I don't get that.
Yeah, Keep going. I mean, like, look, that was a Matt Waldman guy that was a few years ago, and so people still hold on hope because Waldman's great at this, but like even he misses. That happens. But that's like I still want the wide receiver one. I still want Debo. As much as I like those other players, and I really I like Bateman. I like the situation Dotson finds himself in. Because I think they're going to slide him inside, and Wentz does not target outside receivers very much. Like that's a thing with Wentz, and so I like that situation. I'm still taking Debo, even with the nebulousness of Trey Lance. I still want that bona fide wide receiver one. So that's the side I'm going to take.
I think I completely agree. The first thing I'm doing once I make that trade is dropping Dante Pettis. Can I get a fifth rounder for him? No. Okay. Bye. I'm not even bothering with that, to be honest. This would be like Debo for two late firsts, essentially, except that you have players instead of firsts. I want the known commodity there. I want the guy who has put up numbers. I was real big on Debo entering last year, not, you know, wide receiver two overall, but I thought he could be a legit high end wide receiver two. And he completely outperformed that, obviously. There can be regression in his game, and he's still a very solid wide receiver. And if there's not regression, you know, if that's the dude that he is, score one for the team on that. It's a big time player versus two hopes.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't seen anything from Bateman yet, really. And, of course, we haven't seen anything from Dotson as a rookie, so.
Okay, so we'll move on to the next trade, which is actually going to be our sleeper trade of the week because we have a couple Kyle Pitts trades, so I figured I'd pick one of them. And if you listened last week, you know that means we have a little song for you.
Sleeper trade of the week, sleeper trade of the week. We're going to talk about a trade addicts trade, and it's sponsored by the Sleeper app.
And that was brought to you by Zach Reed here, so we appreciate that, Zach. But let's get into the trade now. It's Kyle Pitts. Kind of crazy we had two different Kyle Pitts trades this week, by the way, in two different TA leagues. With given, I think Ryan McDowell put out a tweet today that thinks he's the hardest guy to acquire in Dynasty, and he moved twice in Trade Addicts leagues. But anyway, Kyle Pitts for Waller. 223 firsts and a 23 second. So, Justin, what do you think on this one?
I'm taking Waller in the first and pretty easily at that. I know Waller's older, but that's a lot of draft capital I can use in the future. So maybe I can go Waller and a first for Mark Andrews, and then I still have a first, and I basically turned Kyle Pitts into Andrews a first and a second.
And I talked to this was our guy's our dap brother, Josh, Real Fantasy TL, and our boy Mercer made this trade. And I asked them, the first are one is mid and one is from the title winner last year. Does that change anything, knowing that they're likely not early?
No, because I don't count any first as an early first right now.
Yeah.
If I don't see the team and it's awful, I just assume they're all mid.
What about you, Zach? You taking the Waller side?
I am. Like, it does give me pause because it's got the tight end premium, that 1.75. Like, I get that, but I'm still taking I mean, Waller should be a tight end one. I mean, he may not be the Darren Waller of past years where you've got, you know, a bona fide top four, but I'll take that with the two firsts, and I don't know if I'll be happy about it, but I'll do it. I'm going to do that and bank that I can get, you know, if I get a quarterback again in that 23 class, if I get a quarterback, I'm going to be happy. If I get, you know, one of those good stud running backs and a wide receiver, I still think I'm going to be happy with a top 10 tight end plus those two other guys to bolster my roster.
Yeah, I'm with both of you guys. This is pretty easily Waller in the picks for me. I'm not really bullish on Waller this year. I do think that the Adams is going to come into him. And I think Renfro is kind of being undervalued. He's going to take a lot of targets as well. But I do like what Justin said too. Maybe, you know, Waller, I think, is still considered kind of like tight end five-ish, tight end six, somewhere in there, you know, from a dynasty perspective at worst. And if you can package him and a first and move up to Andrews, or if you can just do Waller plus for Kelsey, I would be happy with that too. Even getting older, I think Kelsey's going to far outproduce Waller this year. So I'll take it. And but again, if you could get Andrews and, like you said, have Andrews first and a second basically as the return for Pitts, that would be pretty easy call for me as well. So
I don't even think that's, you know, not feasible. You know, I think it's something that's in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, and whatever one is the higher, you know, looks like the higher those first, and Darren Waller, you're still going to have solid production. You're getting a first out of it. Yeah, I think that could easily get done. So that was our trade of the week, brought to you by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy football platform in the world. Download their app, join a new league, migrate yours to their platform. You can enjoy how easy they make it to manage all your leagues in one place. Download and get started today. So now we'll move on to our other Pitts trade. I want to talk about that as well because it's pretty similar. Kyle Pitts and a 2024 third. This is TA10 for 323 firsts and Albert O. And it's funny. I don't know if you're familiar with Carla Coinflip. She's in TA10 and she kind of put it out there that she got an offer, which led to literally like six different managers sending her. She said, "Oh, I got an interesting one after getting crap most of the time." And so everybody tried to top that one. And this is the one that apparently won because nice. You're all waiting all day for her verdict on the deal. So
well played.
Yeah. I actually made an offer to not get accepted. So I think it was Eckler, Dalton Schultz and a first. She did say it was tempting, but did not get done. But anyway, so this is the three first and Alberto. I'll let you go first on this one, Zach. You're not getting the same tight end, but you're still getting three first.
Yeah, you're getting three first, and you just heard the news today where Dulcich went on the the IR, so he's at least what, 6 weeks. So it's I don't love Albert O. But the three first is a pretty fair price for Pitts, I think.
Sure.
And again, these are all likely mid to late first, but yeah, they're all first. So, and those golden 23 first. So I think this is what you have to do to get Pitts. I kind of think the three first by itself might have been enough, but this is, you know, people don't want to part with Pitts because he's like, you know, just the golden of dynasty pretty much.
He had the second greatest rookie year of a tight end in history, like without catching touchdowns, which he will. So yeah, I mean, he's good.
Yeah. So I think that's a pretty like relatively fair one, but I would take the picks as well. So TA5, you have a much smaller deal. Baker Mayfield for Tyler Huntley, 2024 second, 2024 third and fourth. So this was kind of just a little bit of a baby trade, but I don't like Baker that much, but I do think he's kind of being treated as like nothing almost. Like I think he's a starter beyond this year. I think if it's not the Panthers, he probably will be starting somewhere else. So I'll easily give up a second, basically a second. I have heard some people say that Huntley, they think, could be a starter eventually. I don't see that at all.
Room for him in the league.
Yeah. So you're basically, it's the second and a bunch of stuff for Baker Mayfield. And if I can get Baker for essentially a second, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
But okay. I'm putting four puke emojis in the comments of this trade, but I'll still take Baker.
It's a cheap buy is what it is. It's a cheap buy. I mean, for the people that are talking about Tyler Huntley being a starter, where? I mean, right now, Jimmy G can't even get a job, you know? I mean, this is a league that is saturated with – it's not high-end quarterback play, but it's saturated with quarterbacks.
It's true. I mean,
and we got more coming in next year.
And the other part of this, that is, how difficult is it not only to break in as a quarterback, but to break in as a mobile quarterback, as a quarterback who run like that is another level of, I mean, you're still getting people say Lamar Jackson's not good. So what chance does Huntley have? So that's.
Before we move on from this one, where do you guys see, like, do you think he starts after this year? Do you think he could have a decent year because he's got, like, say CMC stays healthy, he's got DJ Moore. Do you think he could put up better seasons than he did in Cleveland and maybe his value increases?
I don't think he's very good.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. The problem is – the real problem or the real issue is, are they like a 6 or 7 win team at least? They could be in that division. Mm-hmm. And with that, they're probably not in the realm where you're taking a quarterback unless they're trading up.
Right.
So I think it's completely possible that he signs a short deal, you know, a 2-year extension or something like that, and is playing with the Panthers for the next couple of years.
2-year deal. They wait till Kenny Pickett gets cut. They sign Pickett. They just keep regurgitating the failed round one quarterbacks.
There you go.
It's a brilliant strategy. I don't see what could go wrong.
They're killing it so far.
Yeah, it's worked out great so far. You're right. Okay, the other TA5 trade we had was Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darnell Mooney for a 2023 first. This is, to me, was when I saw, I'm not in TA5, so I just saw this today, and to me, that's a shocker. I mean, I'm not giving up a first for just because they're together doesn't mean I want to give up a first for those guys. Zach, you look like you're ready to say something.
I'm on the other side of this. I know, right?
Like, you like Mooney a lot.
So Darnell Mooney is good, and he is going to be the primary target this year in Chicago. And I think Chicago is going to be bad, but a little better than people think. And I was talking with Jake Anderson the other day, who used to be a fantasy, the artist formerly known as at NFL Draft Talker on Twitter. He's now a PGA Tour guy. But and he said, and I agreed with it, if Darnell Mooney wasn't Darnell Mooney, he would be pushing top 12 wide receiver. But people, he was a later pick. You could get him in fourth or fifth rounds of rookie drafts, and people don't believe in it. Man, he's pretty good, and I'll take him and a kick at the can on CEH for that 23 first. It's close, but I'm still taking that. Like, I think Mooney is good.
I was just gonna ask. So you think there's a more talent there than people, like, because to me it seems to me he's not that special a guy who's living off the fact that he's the only show in town last year in this.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. He feels like Terry McLaurin light to me.
It's funny. So Darnell Mooney was a guy that I identified in his draft class. It was like, he's that guy. I always find somebody late. 1 year it was Hunter Renfro. It was Darnell Mooney that year. Like, that, those are the guys that like I love, especially because nobody else likes them. You know, if they go late, people are just waiting for those players to fail because everybody missed on them. And so they're waiting for that to unravel. Like, Mooney not only is really good downfield, which is how they've kind of used him, but he can also do that, like, Jarvis Landry, like, slide into the slot and gain yards after catch. Like, he was really good at that in college. And that part of his game hasn't even been tapped into yet. And so, like, I think that there is more to Darnell Mooney than just, you know, he's the you know, prettiest girl at the shipyard. Like, he's okay.
So it sounds like you agree, Justin, on taking the first over the two players. Yeah. The only question I had then before we move on is Zach, would you trade a first for Mooney? Because to how much are you putting on CH here?
So I think CH is probably a second. So I'd trade Mooney to get the first, but I think with just that little bit of a bump, I'm gonna take that because look, CEH could conceivably be a running back two this year. Like I know everybody is poo-pooed on him because he was the running back one because I don't know why people thought
Jonathan Taylor was not good.
Like I don't anyway, but that's it. We do this thing. And it's the opposite of the Darnell Mooney effect, where if a player we thought was going to be like a superstar isn't, they become nothing. It was like Odell Beckham did that. Odell Beckham was, you know, a first round pick, top five pick. He was like hurt and not good for a year. And all of a sudden he's like 60th overall, 70th overall. And, you know, I'm like, he still, like, when he was healthy, he still was good, but he wasn't what he used to be. And so we just, like, we throw that away. And I think that's happening with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's better than what we're giving him credit for. Is he good? Eh. But I'll take the shot at having a running back, too, in Kansas City.
Yeah, my only issue is, and I never was real big on the situation.
Yeah,
and he was never the prospect that anybody wanted to be. So when he got that situation bump, and I have a tweet that I've retweeted and shared a million times about how they don't use the court or the running back in the pass situation. But when he got that post-draft bump, it blew my mind because I had watched him at LSU and he didn't do anything for me. He was a good pass catcher. Incredible offense is what he was. Well, so I don't know that same thing applies because there's not a like the line in KC is not going to be just killing people out there, and the team is not going to be able to spread it around as good as KC's offense has been. It couldn't do what LSU did in college, so he didn't get that kind of space, and without that kind of space, he's nothing. And, you know, that's a little hyperbolic, but he's not great. That's for sure.
Agreed. And it's so funny you say that, though, because it seems to me like I agree with what you said about CH and how everyone wanted to put him up there and then he didn't. But it also seems to me with some guys, we seem to hold on to priors, no matter what. Like, I was just thinking, like, to me, like, is Jerry Jeudy not the CH of wide receivers? CH has probably done more relative to his position in his first 2 years than Jerry Jeudy has.
You're making this personal, Rocky. I don't like it. You're making it personal.
But Jerry Jeudy, like,
is actually good at football.
Was better and more efficient than people think he was with what he had to work with in his first couple of years. Like, obviously he had injuries and that sort of thing. But, like, and the same thing with Sutton. Like, Sutton came in and was wide receiver 19 with a combination of Joe Flacco and Drew Luck. It was Drew Flacco. which is not like – so, yes, Jeudy has underperformed to when people had him at whatever, wide receiver one or two. I wasn't one of those people because Justin Jefferson exists. but Jerry Jeudy was good in college, has been – if fairly efficient for it, and I'd have to dig. I have a tweet about it because I was hoping that he was going to be a thing last year. I think he'll be pushing a wide receiver two this year with Russell Wilson. I think Courtland Sutton is a wide receiver one with Wilson this year. Like, I think he's a top 12 there. Receiver.
And, Justin will tell you.
Yeah, and so I get the hate on Jeudy, but like, he did a little bit more than people are giving him credit for. He's never going to be Calvin Ridley, which is what people expected him to be, but that's
what I said, though. He's the CEH. CEH did a little more than people will give him credit. His first year, he actually had a pretty good season. But anyway, we'll move on to the other TA6 trade, which this actually just went down tonight. It involves Russ. And I'm still not sure I feel pretty sure which side you guys are going to pick, but I'm still not sure what I think of it, but I'll throw this one to you first, Justin. Tom Brady, Derek Carr, Derrick Henry for Lamar Jackson and Jared Goff. So a lot going on there. A lot of quarterbacks.
Give me Lamar. Just give me Lamar and Goff, whatever. I want the elite QB. And I'm not a Henry believer. I think that he's on the downside. I think that the usage is going to catch up with him. It already did last year. And Brady's going to retire someday, right?
Eventually.
Right? Yeah?
Maybe. Maybe
he's a robot out there. Look,
when our grandchildren are $100 million,
he's got $100 million or whatever waiting for him to be in a booth. He can go next year. I hope for all the places I don't have him. I hope so. And Rocky's like, no, he's going to play till he's 50. Please,
I think he is. I think he is.
I don't know. He looked like it was wearing on him in that press conference.
Weird.
The other day,
yes.
It was odd. He kind of looked like zombie Captain America from What If.
Yeah.
And it's just like, look, I'm 46. There's a lot of shit going on. Like, I feel that I'm 41 and there's a lot. I can't even imagine trying to be in the NFL and playing. I'm still going to win this year, though. I'm going to take the Brady. I'm going to take the Derrick Henry. I'm going to take the Derek Carr. Double Derek. So that's what I'm gonna call my team Perfect 10 after Bo Derek. It's just gonna be a lot of Derek's, and that's what I'm gonna do. I love Lamar Jackson. He's the best player in this deal, like no question.
Sure,
but I think that the combination of Brady, Carr, and Henry, if I've done anything as a fantasy manager, that makes my team really competitive.
Yeah, this is so hard for me because that's where my mind generally goes is what Zach said. But I kind of lean with Justin, which is going to sound crazy to people. I'm not the guy who does this. But
this is not particularly Petrella.
Yeah, I just look at it and like I'm with you. I think the reason is I'm kind of with you on Henry. I have my doubts that we're going to see the dominant Derrick Henry we've seen in the past. I don't know. I mean, he seems to be fully recovered from the injury, but that I don't know that the offense is that good. It's basically him and a bunch of guys and a rookie. I'm not sure what Robert Woods is coming off the ACL. Nick Westbrook Akine isn't terrifying me, you know, if I'm a corner. So I just worry Derrick Henry is not going to be what we expect. And if that's the case, you're paying for okay production from a running back for 1 year, and then he has no value after this year, Derrick Henry. And yeah. Tom Brady probably retires after this year, and who knows what Derek Carr is. So I think I lean that way, but I don't feel good about it.
you know what corners are afraid of, though? They're not afraid of the wide receiver.
Tackling Derrick Henry?
Yes, they are.
So that's all great for about 10 weeks until he's hurt again because he's old. And look, he was averaging 27 yards a carry last year, or 27 carries a game last year.
Yeah,
and we've seen his production, his efficiency production go down every season. So what are we expecting here? Another 27 carries? Okay, well, then he's good for about 6 or 8 games. They bump him back to 20 carries, and his efficiency isn't as good because they lost some on the offensive line. They don't have A.J. Brown stretching the field. I mean, I think you could legit see a dude that's getting 4 yards a carry or less this year. That's scary to say about him, but, I mean – if he ain't getting to the corners, then you don't have to worry about them tackling him. You know? And if that offensive line is what the line experts are saying, because I'm not one, then he may not get to the second level as often as he did in the past.
Yeah, I'm with you. I have a hard time seeing him producing at the elite level he has, with just given what the rest of that offense looks like.
The only reason he produced last year at that level was because he was getting 1 million carries a game. It wasn't because he was breaking off huge runs and killing the defense.
But they also started targeting, which, again, I'm not predicting that they will, but they started targeting him in the beginning of the year before he was hurt, where, like, he was what, a top 10 running back in, week 15, and he only played 8 weeks, like.
And I think he was on, like, at least a 40-catch pace or something.
Yeah,
like that,
yeah.
Which would have been his career high.
Yeah. He was on pace for like 39 catches and 42 targets or something like that. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, again, I'm not predicting that, but like if they will throw him, like if he becomes an option in that offense, which doesn't say much for Treylon Burks, if that happens, I think, but if he does become a primary option in the passing game, that I don't know. I'm not full out on Henry this year. And again, I'm gonna pay for my league for the next 3 years with this trade. So,
and to go against what you said and kind of agree with what you're saying, though, I mean, if you got a rookie and a guy who's a 30-year-old coming off an ACL tear, I mean, you could see Henry getting more work in the passing game. And like you said, they showed the tendency to do it last year, which they hadn't really done it before. So I think if any time he was going to get those catches, it kind of makes sense with the receiving group that they have there now. Yeah. But the next trade is, you kind of alluded to it earlier, Zach, I think, J.K. Dobbins straight up for a 2023 first. Is J.K. Dobbins worthy of a 2023, the golden 2023 first?
So this is how you can tell that I am not Russ, because I am taking the first and running.
Yeah, what about you? I think this is Russ pretending that he's not, you know? This wasn't video. It would just be Russ pretending and taking the opposite just to fool the crowd.
Russ and the Groucho glasses and the mustache.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, give me the first as well. I think when it comes, when it hits the nitty gritty and I need a player, I can get something better than J.K. Dobbins off of a team that sucks. Because yeah, that's what's going to happen. You're going to find in week 6 or 7, this is when these firsts can actually come in handy. Like, I don't worry about, well, I'm a contender. No, give me the assets. If I'm really a contender, I'll be in the mix. And then I can add players from teams that are just like, all right, I'm ready to sell. You know, and that first team that's ready to sell, let's go, you know.
So. And I think I'm with you guys. It was a rebuild, but I sold J.K. Dobbins for a 23 first. I got a second out of it too earlier in the offseason. And I think what you said is a good point. What it comes down to with a lot of these, especially just straight up for 2023 first type trades, is not so much like, oh, well, you're hoping that 23 first turns into someone as good as we think J.K. Dobbins is, or whatever, whoever the guy is on the other side. It's what can you get better than what you're getting for that 2023 first? Because, yeah, especially as we get into the season, yeah, I think you're going to be able to get better.
Yeah, I think that's the piece that's not being talked about enough with the 23 first, because everyone's like, oh, do you think that the class is that good? And I was like, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Like,
everyone
only matters.
Everyone else thinks it is. Yeah.
If everyone in the community thinks that it's great, then awesome, because now I have a piece I can trade.
And I do think that it is going to be a fantastic class, because when I look at depth of a class, and I did a whole show about this probably, I don't know, four or five weeks ago, but you look at all three of the marquee positions, you know, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and you look at the number of potential blue chip prospects, and man, they're, like I said, they're two or three or four quarterbacks, there are three or four running backs, there are four or five receivers, and that makes this a really deep class when you're talking, you have an average of seven players a class that hit. Like, if you have 10 that you can identify, and then we're going to have three or four or five guys that, you know, come out of nowhere that we didn't identify. That's a deep class.
Yeah, so. I never trade for first or trade for any picks with the absolute intention of taking the pick.
No.
With the exception of auctions. Like, yeah. If it's an auction, just I'm going to accumulate all the picks. I'm going to take all the rookies, and then I'll just hit on. You don't have to worry about, like, oh, I'm in the sixth slot versus the seventh slot. I can't get to the third play or whatever. But, yeah, I want to accumulate picks because I want to turn those picks into players at some point.
Yeah,
and I think likely it's before the rookie draft comes along. I mean, unless my team is just trash, I can make moves and take a team that looked awful a few weeks ago and make it into a contender in a matter of days, really, with picks.
And I do a little bit different than what you do, Justin, and which is part of what makes this game beautiful, is I'll identify a class, but I'll do it 2 years out. So, like, I was trading for 23 picks 2 years ago.
Sure.
And I did the same thing with the 2017 class, where you had all those running backs and you had three or four or five wide receivers that I liked. I'm like, all right, I want to get into that class. So I was trading, two players who were probably worth seconds plus for a 2016 second and a 2017 first. And I did the same thing, you know, with 22 and 23, although I traded most of my 22 picks away because I didn't like this class. But but that, like, that's what I'll do. And I'll get into a class that I like with like five or six picks. And so it's similar in, but instead of moving picks to get players always, I'll move picks to get players until I identify a class. And then I move picks to get rookie picks because I know that I want that class.
Yeah. And I just wanted to piggyback on what you had said, Justin. Just, I do think it's just so important to think about it that way, that I think too often people just look at it, you're getting this pick, and then what is, you know, what is that player for that pick? Like, what is that pick going to be when I make it? And that's not the way you should be thinking about it. Every trade often should lead to another trade. So I just want to stress that point a little bit. But
it's like when we were talking about the Waller and two first things, like, my first thought was not, oh, I got two firsts. It's, what can I do with Waller in that first to move and, you know,
cascade,
still make my team just as good as it was and got an asset, you know?
Exactly.
That's my immediate thought every time I get picks is, all right, what can I do with these? Maybe I hold them. Maybe I'm trading them a week later. You know, maybe it's December and I'm moving them. But, you know what?
Yeah, and sometimes crazy things can happen. This made me just realize, like, and we're going to talk about some TA9 trades soon, but earlier this offseason, I traded Pitts for three firsts in TA9, plus a mediocre tight end. And I got one of those firsts and a second and third and picked up McCaffrey, which, whatever you think on that, but I think he's going to be pretty good this year if he stays healthy. And the other week, I think it was even last week, we talked about it. I somehow used one of those first to get Jalen Waddle by itself. So I basically traded Pitts for and a second and a third for CMC Waddle on a 23 first. I'll take that all day.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of TA9, well, we're going to get into some TA9 trades. This one, we've got a few of mine in here too, which this first one is. So I'm going to let you guys talk about it first again. Austin Eckler straight up for Stephon Diggs. Justin, who you got?
Diggs. I think Eckler's good for a year and change. I think Diggs is good for two or three more years and similar production. Give me Diggs.
Yeah. What about you, Eric?
I'm there too, but I think it's a little closer. Like, this one would give me pause. Like, if this hit my inbox, I would be like, okay, I'm going to take Diggs. Like, I'll make that trade, but it's Eckler probably gives you just a little bit of a bump advantage in terms of both overall points and like that positional advantage.
Yeah, sure.
And so, like, I think for this year it's Eckler, but for exactly the reason Justin said, I want Diggs for the next, you know, 2-3 years tied to Josh Allen.
So yes, you guys picked the correct side. First of all, I got Diggs, and as I said, in this league I have McCaffrey. I also have Dobbins on that team, so I was fine moving off Eckler. And I actually think Diggs, I'm a little wary on Eckler this year. I mean, he's going to regress touchdown wise. That's almost a certainty. He's not going to score 20 touchdowns. And there is talk about scaling his workload back a little bit. We'll see if that actually happens. Sure. But I just think we're going to see Diggs return to 2020 form. And he basically was very consistent last year, consistently good, did not have quite as many touchdowns as he had before. So I think he may bounce back while Eckler bounces back down on the touchdowns. And I think we could even see Diggs outperforming this year, but I'm exactly where what Justin said. Like, I think they're both 28, and I'd rather have a 28-year-old receiver than a 28-year-old running back. So the next one I only put on here just because I had to, because it was me, Ronald Jones for a 2023 fourth. I had to get him off my roster. I traded for him in the playoffs last year because I had like 10 injuries. And I think Fournette was hurt, and I tried to win, and I did not win. And I also thought he was going to get cut this week, which it doesn't appear is happening. Yeah, so I figured I'd get something for him before he got cut. And I spammed this out to the league, and somebody accepted it within like 5 minutes. But I see Zach kind of looking on the edge of talking there. So, Zach, what is it you want to say here?
This it was a brilliant trade. And I would say that, like, if I didn't know it was your trade, like, I'd already written this down. I didn't know this was your trade, Rocky. this is a brilliant trade, and this is something that I like to try to do this time of year with the back end of my roster with players that, you know, I might cut, I might – like, if you can free up a roster spot at specifically this time of year, you have a place to put that first waiver wire player, because there's going to be somebody who pops. There always is. There's going to be somebody that you want to add within this next week and a half, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And so roster spots have value. So getting rid of Ronald Jones, who you're not going to use, getting a fourth, which, you know me, I don't care about. Like, yeah, I don't care about
the fourth. This well, is no,
yeah, I don't care about well, hold on.
But so no, but you get a fourth. So I don't care about anything second, third, fourth, fifth. I don't care about picks after the first round. I don't. I can always go get those in draft, but that's something that you can add to a trade. Just you get a little bit, you know, what was the question? A second plus that fourth that might get you Antonio Gibson. Like, you know, just that little bit. And so like the fourth is nothing, but it's something. You created a roster spot and you got rid of Ronald Jones. Like, that's just, to me, it's brilliant.
And as everybody knows, I would love, I always want to get rid of Ronald Jones.
I'm shocked you traded for Ronald Jones last year.
He was actually part of a package. I did not trade for Ronald Jones, but I'm going with
Rocky sent a 23 first for Ronald Jones in the playoffs.
No, that did not happen.
Yeah. Ronald Jones is the last resort of the desperate man.
That's what it was. Yeah, I was like, I think Russell Gage might. It was like all these guys that have like no value beyond like that week. But yeah. I was desperate because I went 13-1 in TA9 last year, and everybody, even though everybody was hurt at the end of the year, I already had some guys that got hurt along the way, and then it just got even worse. And I got to the
playoffs. You put Ronald Jones in your lineup, didn't you?
That's what I think I did, and I think he sucked.
You should have made the Boston Scott move. I mean, that would have been way better.
Should have.
So I would take Ronald Jones over the fourth in a vacuum. Now, if you need the roster spot, I get it, but I'll take Ronald Jones because I think there's a potential that he gets an opportunity and I get a third, just auto accepted.
Yeah, I just
I'd much rather have a third to try and add into a deal than a fourth.
Maybe I should have spammed out a third, but there was already talk that he was going to get cut. So I was just, I wanted him off my roster and I wanted to get anything for, because I figured if he got cut there, in my mind, there was a chance he didn't get signed by anybody and then I'm never getting anything for him. So a fourth is better than nothing. And now he didn't get cut, so maybe he has slightly more value. So
yeah, I think the value is going to come if he gets an opportunity to see the field. And it happens before the Pacheco. So
and he often doesn't get a chance to see the field because he's not that good. But under two different regimes in Tampa. But the next one is Matthew Stafford, Miles Sanders, 2024 second for Carson Wentz. 2023 first, 2024 first, and Matt Breida. So you can just ignore that part of it. I think I am taking the first and Carson Wentz, but I'm curious what you guys think.
That's what I'd do. I'd take the first. I mean,
basically go to those picks. Yeah.
Miles Sanders is a shrug. Stafford is good, but I'm he's still got the elbow thing going. So maybe, who knows? And I don't love Wentz, but I like firsts. So,
yeah.
And like I said earlier, I mean, again, whatever you want to think of Wentz, he was sneaky good for fantasy last year and he could be again. He's got some, you know, if Logan Thomas is healthy, he's got McLaurin, he's got Dotson. He's got RB1 J.D. McKissick.
That's the one. he's going to eat with Wentz. That is going
to Wentz does like to dump off to the running back. Yeah, so I think he could be a little better than people think. And you're getting those two picks. Yeah, and I also think Miles Sanders is a little underrated, but he doesn't do enough for me in this deal to come off those two first-round picks. So next one is also me. So we'll see if you guys get it right again. DeAndre Hopkins and Mike Williams for Hollywood Brown. Justin.
You know, I love Hollywood Brown. I do. Like, he's my boo thing. But I'll take the two guys. I think Mike Williams is going to have a really good year this year. I mean, I think that the first half of last year is closer to what he is than the second half of last year. He got a little banged up. So give me Mike Williams, and then give me the DeAndre Hopkins second half hammer. That I mean, I know he's not old DeAndre Hopkins. Now he's just old DeAndre Hopkins. but I think he's still going to catch balls and touchdowns, hopefully. So he'll be a startable asset.
Yeah, you agree in there?
I am. There's a lot of nodding. Did you hear me rattle?
I did. I saw the nodding. Yeah.
That's where I'm at too. For essentially the same reasons. I don't love Mike Williams. I'm not like Russ. I don't have the team Clemson big wide receiver behind me or anything. But I do think, man, that can be a dynamic offense in LA and with Herbert and. I'll take that side of it, especially with that kicker of Hopkins hoping for the second half of the season.
So you guys picked wrong this time. I too love Hollywood. He's also my boo thing, Justin. But I've been trying to get off Hopkins everywhere I can, and it's so hard to move him by himself. And I get what you're saying about Williams, and I just think he's going to be the guy he's always been. He's going to have some boom weeks. He's going to have some crappy weeks. I think Hollywood can be a thing. I think he can be a wide receiver one this year because I don't think Hopkins is what he was. And I've heard you talking about this as well. I mean, he lived off of touchdowns last year. Yeah. In terms of efficiency, in terms of target share, he was not the Hopkins of old. I think I heard on I wish I could remember which so I could attribute it to them, but I heard on another podcast, I think it was his lowest target share since his rookie year, even when he was healthy. So neither of those guys does it much for me, and Hollywood does, so I went and got my guy. I will say we have a question in the chat from Frank N. Carter or McKissick right now, knowing what we now know, I guess with Robinson out, and I guess maybe he's alluding also to the fact that Carter is quote unquote the starter, the lead back.
Sure.
So would either of you take which would you take?
Well, are we? It depends on how we're framing this. Are we saying like which is the better player? Are we saying which one would we take at cost? Because you know I've got J.D. McKissick on all my rosters because he's free and he's a top 24 running back. I think he's going to outscore Michael Carter again. Like I really do. I think Carter has the longevity, the young hip like Michael Carter as a trade piece, but I prefer J.D. McKissick. I don't think I'd drop Carter for McKissick.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I think you can trade Carter, I guess Frank.
Is this redraft he's talking about? Because I don't think anyone's dropping Carter in Dynasty.
How shallow are the rosters, Frank? We're sitting here. We're on pins and needles here waiting to hear this one.
I know.
How shallow are the rosters? Because what he says is, McKissick is on waiver. Would you drop Carter for him? No, I wouldn't.
No,
because Carter's got trade value. So, like,
right. So you got to have a worse player than Carter to drop him. Unless we're talking, even in redraft,
go trade Carter for a third and then pick up a free McKissick,
or pair Carter with somebody, and get a better player, and then pick up McKissick, and then you've plussed up whoever player you paired with Carter, and you added J.D. McKissick, who's going to be a good, especially in PPR, that's going to be a good running back to have.
Yeah, he said so, six men. It has to be redraft.
It has to be, redraft. In which case, I really don't care about either of them. I'd rather take an upside shot on – in a redraft, I want Carter over McKissick because I think if Breece Hall goes down, Carter can have a role. And because what I'm assuming in a redraft is that you're starting like seven dudes plus a kicker defense maybe. Mm-hmm. So I don't care about the RB – 24 or the RB 32, whatever. I want the guy that maybe has RB 12, RB 14 upside, and McKissick probably doesn't have that. So if this is a redraft, just give me Carter because I'll take the backup with the chance that he could be a starter.
Okay, we have two more TA9 trades, both involving the same guy who first he traded Deshaun Watson and Jerry Jeudy for a 2023 first, a 2024 first, and the aforementioned Damian Pierce.
So three more 2023 firsts.
There you go. Right there. To me, this is, I'm not even a Judy guy. To me, this is so easily that side. Deshaun Watson is worth at least those two firsts, even with the suspension. And I'm taking Judy over Pierce, even as a guy who doesn't like Judy. You're both nodding in agreement. Any comments or anything else you want to throw in there?
So what I wrote down for this one was blah, because that's how I feel about, like, I Russ and I are of similar opinions. I don't want to roster Deshaun Watson if I don't have to. If I made this trade, that is as soon as he comes back and is playing like Deshaun Watson, I'm looking to flip him. But it is that side of the trade. Like, he's the best player in the trade.
By a lot. Yeah. By a lot. Yeah. I mean, now that we know there's a resolution on the horizon, like, you know, the resolution is here and there's a light at the end of the tunnel for his return. Right. You know, that's on the horizon. Why make this move now and sell for what you would never sell him?
Low to me. Yeah.
Yeah. You would never sell him for a 23 first and a 24 first when he's playing. And you already know he's coming back in week 13. So what's the point now? You know, if you had him this long, what's the point? I don't get it.
Yeah, and then you look at the pieces that are left over, and I still think Judy has more, at least as much value as Damian Pierce.
At least as much, yeah. Yeah. And watch when he blows up for 120 and two in week one, and then
it's not going to happen. But okay.
While Sutton gets 3 for 40,
I think you have those two reversed. But okay. Jerry Jeudy doesn't score touchdowns. Anyway, 2023 first. The guy then traded, actually, well, let me go to the other side. The guy then who got Damian Pierce actually the same day traded Kenneth Walker and Damian Pierce for a 2023 first and a 2023 second. Obviously, he's rebuilding. Is this enough for those two, Justin?
No, not for me. I like Ken Walker, and I think – Pierce is worth more than a 23 second. And I mean, it's not awful, but I think I could probably sell it. If what happens if Penny goes down and Ken Walker takes over the starting role there, then you're looking at getting a 23 first by himself for that. And then you should have sold Damian Pierce for a 23 first by himself, regardless. You should have been spamming that out before you did this deal. Come on, man. Come on. What are you doing out there?
I agree with you that they didn't get enough. But I would still take this for Walker and Pierce. Like, I still want the 23 first. Like, I would take a 23 first over basically anybody in this class. Like, I really would. Like, this class in terms of
including Hall.
In Hall is the one that I would. It would give me pause.
It better because, make pause a lot.
Huh?
I said it better make you pause a lot.
Well, no, like that's the one. So I've got like my historical rankings that I did as kind of a spoof for Peter Howard, because he did a show where he went and was like holding himself accountable. And I was like, well, I'll go back and look. The only player who made the top, whatever, 20 on either running backs or wide receivers was Breece Hall. And he was down in the David Montgomery range. And I like David Montgomery. I think he was my favorite running back in that class, but he's still not a difference maker. He's not a McCaffrey. He's not a Barkley. He's not that type of player. And I would rather have the value insulation plus the chance at one of these guys coming with that 23 first over Kenneth Walker easily. And like I said, Hall is the only one in this class that would make me pause.
And I kind of asked you this question in reverse earlier, Justin, but this looks like a likely non-playoff 2023 first. If you're looking at it that way, does that change it at all?
Why didn't I try to trade Damian Pierce for that? I'm just kidding. I mean, like I said, it's close to me. I don't think it's outlandish. I just think that each of those guys at some point this season, right now, Damian Pierce, maybe in week 7 or 8 for Ken Walker, each of those guys should, in theory, be worth around a 23 first-ish. So yeah. Now you just sold for a first and a second. Because I don't think Penny lasts the whole season. Does anybody else think that's in the realm of possibilities or not really?
Unlikely. I'm with Zach in that I think the 2023 first, I'm significantly taking over Kenneth Walker, especially with the idea that it's a likely non-playoff 2023 first.
Yeah, I'm not arguing for Kenny Walker over the first. I'm saying that at some point he should be able to fetch a first.
Fetch more, so, yeah.
Yeah.
And that, like, again, I agree with you that this is probably selling a little low, but if this is the trade, like, I still think I won that. I think I can do better with a 23 second than
Damian Pierce. Yeah.
And I think that a first for Walker is a win. So that's what I'm going
to. I think that's basically where I'm at. Where's
yeah.
Zach?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I just hope. I would hope.
We want more. We want more.
I always want to squeeze the juice.
Sometimes you get greedy though, and you don't get more. So
that sounded like a Jarvis Landry hug, which I'm all about too. I love the juice.
Okay, but that, as Russ would say, is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. I want to thank Justin for coming on and helping me out here. I want to thank Zach for coming on, or should I call him Eric? I'm still not sure.
Or Russ, we just don't know.
Yeah. So, both of you. Why don't you, Justin? Why don't you let everybody know when you're not hosting TradeX where they can find you, and then we'll let Zach do the same.
Yeah, you can catch me on the Hot Sauce, the Dynasty Hot Sauce podcast with FF Larry Monkey. We are a little bit more off the rails than this podcast.
Yes.
And by a little bit, I mean a bit off the rails.
So much.
But yeah, we just like to shoot the shit a little bit. So yeah, come and check us out. And you can find me at RunDFF on the Twitter machine.
And Zach.
So I am at TacitAssassin13 on Twitter. You can find me over at the Dynasty Dummies podcast on the DFP and at work. It's the only at work in town, not to be confused with the DAP network, which is a fantastic network. And you can also find me on Wednesday nights at 9:30. I'm the guy on the couch for the Dynasty Grind on the DLF live stream. Peter Howard does a show. He asked me to help him out once, like 6 months ago, and I've continued to help him out. So that's where I am on Wednesday nights at 9:30. So,
okay. Again, thanks to both of you for coming on. I'll just finish up with some of our business. I realize I never said that we are part of the DLF family of podcasts and a member of the DAP network. So I should do that now at the end here. We're supposed to say that at the beginning. Also,
if you will, and we did.
It's true. Always want to remind you, you can sign up for our Patreon, tradeaddicts.com/Patreon, or whatever, reversed. I think I did that. But anyway, you can see you can come in here and watch us live while we are potting. There's the Cool Kids Club chat, which Justin is in. I'm in, Russ is in, a whole bunch of great people are in. You get access to that. So go sign up for that. FF Pod Shirts, that's storeonv.com. A whole bunch of stuff in there. Shirts, SFB shirts, a whole bunch of different pods, including all the ones on the DAP network. And everything in there, proceeds go to charity. I think that's everything. I hope. If not, Russ doesn't listen to these anyway, so he won't know. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants. That is the best. See ya.